Hello, hello everyone, and welcome to Making It Local. I am KJ Olson. I am a genderqueer, trans, non-binary educator teaching music and movement here in the Twin Cities area. I'm a composer and a performer, and I live right in the heart of Minneapolis in Minnesota. I'm originally from Altoona, Wisconsin, population 7,000-ish, and I moved here to Minneapolis in 2016 when I was finally ready to settle down after finishing my undergraduate in musical theater at UW-La Crosse in Wisconsin. I had moved out to D.C., got married and divorced, moved around a lot, and then came back to the Midwest to do my graduate work at Augsburg University in education, and started working to create my own music and theater works that meant something to me. And that meant I started wanting to create and collaborate with other amazing and talented people who live here in this area. And that's what brings us to this interview today. Each month, I'll be highlighting a creator from this area in and around the Twin Cities, focusing on their past and present and future works, their likes and dislikes, and their general take on the performance and creative scene in the Twin Cities. My first guest is Isabella Dunseith, and she's someone that I've had the pleasure of working with in the past, and I now consider a trusted friend. Just a note on this episode, when we first recorded this, I had not come up with a title yet. So, without further ado, here is our first episode of Making It Local with our guest, Isabella Dunseith. Enjoy! Hello, hello. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Oh, fantastic. Welcome, everybody. This is a show titled TBD, where I will be interviewing some people from in and around the Twin Cities area who are makers, creators, movers, shakers, artists, performers. And today, do you want me to introduce you or do you want to introduce yourself?
I can sleep myself.
Oh.
I'm Isabella Dunseith. I'm KJ's friend, colleague, collaborator, lover. No. maybe.
Oh, my goodness. It's been, it's actually really interesting. I was thinking back to when we first met, which was, it's going on like a year and a half ago now.
Yeah, that's so crazy.
Because it would have been, right? Yeah. It would have been like September of 2020, yes. I believe. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that crazy time. We did a virtual production of The Awakening of Spring, which Isabella was the assistant director for, as well as Taya, one of the characters in the show.
My star role.
yes, your star role. You're still saved in my phone as Isabella Taya, by the way.
That is so funny.
Because I wanted hilarious. To make sure I had everybody's character names next to, because we had this group chat on GroupMe, and I did for the show, because we broadcast it on the screen, and I didn't want to accidentally lose people's numbers and names, so I put their real name and their character names.
That is,
and I never changed
so
it.
Funny. I still have that Taya TikTok account. I haven't posted on it since, but some people are like, oh my god, you're so good, and I'm like, this is literally a joke account, like, please do not perceive it. Don't look at the videos, please.
It doesn't exist. It's yeah, not
it
real.
It shouldn't exist.
Well, considering you've got quite a following on your own TikTok, so.
That is literally not true. I don't know if you've seen my TikTok recently. They've been doing bad. I think I'm shadow banned. I don't know why. I think I said the F word. Am I allowed to cuss? I think I said the F word.
I think you're allowed to cuss, but I don't know. You're not allowed to cuss on YouTube anymore, which.
Stop.
It's just stupid.
That's dumb.
Well, you can. You just will not get advertisers.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing about YouTube, is it used to be they would just take down a bunch of videos, but now they've gone into like, oh, it just won't be monetized, which I'm a little more okay with. I mean, I'm not, because, you know, people need money. But it's better than just like getting all your creative stuff taken down.
Oh, absolutely. Especially because with the YouTube contract, you better hope you have things backed up somewhere else, because if you get your stuff taken off of YouTube, it's gone forever.
Yeah.
You don't get to download it. You don't get to keep it.
Yeah. That's the thing that I'm like, they just do it without warning. They do it on TikTok too. They just like take down your stuff without warning, which is dumb.
I haven't had that happen yet. I still like I'm very clearly in my like going on mid 30s. I do not really understand TikTok. I pretend to understand it.
Sure.
Occasionally I make something that I think is really interesting, and for the most part I'm like, yeah, everyone's like, okay. Like, I get the feeling of like the teens being like, stop.
I don't know how to edit videos at all. I know how to be funny. I don't know how to like actually like edit and like make things look good. That's where my knowledge ends.
See, here's where the two of us could probably like link up and join some more forces, because I like editing videos. I like doing that type of thing. Mm. But I say this to my partner all the time. Jay is actually funny. I'm accidentally funny sometimes, like without knowing I'm being funny. So I'm better when I'm not trying to be funny. We'll put it that way. When I'm just living. But I always think, oh, I can make this thing for TikTok, and then I think a little longer about it. No, why? Why would I make that for TikTok? Also, I'm bad at short form content because I'm very bad at not like going on and on and on. So verbosity doesn't work very well on a platform that requires you to be 3 minutes or less.
Yeah. 3 minutes is like long too. Like I'll encounter 3 minute long videos and I'm like, oh my God, this is like a full length show. Which tells you a lot about where my brain is at. My brain is like non-existent anymore.
I mean, all of our brains have kind of gotten that way since the pandemic started,
for sure.
Partially, and then also just the general vibe of the world.
Yeah.
keeping us all in the highest of spirits. Ooh. It's been rough.
Yeah.
But it's you know, it's why I am so determined to keep my creative and artistic mind alive.
Yes.
Because it's the only thing that's keeping me from, I think, completely losing it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, it's a fine line. And it's a short cliff.
Yeah.
It's a short cliff edge.
I feel that because I overwork myself. I know you do it too, where you like book yourself within an inch of your life. And so it drives me crazy in that sense of like, oh my God, like I have so many things to do. But like the moment I have free time, I'm like, something is wrong. Like something is gravely wrong if I'm not creating or helping others create. So my mental health is never going to be great because I'm either going to be like in overdrive or like completely flat.
Seriously, it's I'm getting over COVID. It's we're much better today, but occasionally it's like the gravel.
Yeah,
it's delicious.
It's also so awful. Dry in Minnesota. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, I'm feeling. I don't have COVID. I hope I don't have COVID. But like, my throat is just like raw. It's so fucking dry.
Yeah, that's an outdoor climate thing, I think. Less. That was the reason why at first I didn't think I was sick, because my allergies and my asthma are all year round things. It's it's terrible in the summer when it's hot and humid, and it's terrible in the winter when it's cold and dry. It's like, and then my top allergens are in the spring and the fall. So no matter what happens, something is impacting.
Yeah.
You know, and so all of the symptoms of COVID are the same as like having a really bad allergy day.
That sucks.
So I was like, I don't know if I have it. And then I woke up the following morning. I went to bed feeling kind of, and then I woke up the next morning and came out and looked at Jay and was like, I don't know. I think I need to take that test. Mm-hmm. Just like no voice, super congested. I was like, this is not allergies. I don't think so. And then the at-home test was like, positive beyond a shadow of a doubt. It wasn't like, ooh, a tiny thin. It was like, nope, bright red line.
No.
I was like, damn. So then we went and took PCR tests. And yeah, those came back about 12 hours later, and we both had it. So I'm kind of glad we took the tests because Jay didn't have symptoms yet. So Jay was like, should we mask around each other? And I thought the same thing. And after about 8 hours of doing it, we looked at each other. We're like, I think we're both going to get it if one of us gets it, because I don't think we're going to be able to do this. But we're getting better now. So everybody, please continue to get tested if you feel like there's a chance you were exposed. I know it's really hard to find tests. If you can find one, there's often tests down at the convention center in Minneapolis. There's a couple of other places. Call me if you need a ride. We'll figure it out. But also, get vaxxed and boosted. That's the official stance here. But I love a visual on a podcast where it's like...
For those of you listening, I put up peace signs because that's what I do.
That's, we're taking a picture and it's 2005. So I've got some questions for you, some burning questions.
I've got some answers.
Excellent. So the first thing, I think you and I have talked about this before, but I'd like to hear it from you again. What brought you to Minneapolis originally? Because I don't think you grew up here.
No, I didn't. I came here for school. The University of Minnesota has a really great BFA program. And I went to like a theater arts school type deal. And so it was like one of the like top schools that they wanted us to audition for. And after like doing research on it, I was like, Minneapolis seems like a really cool place. It seems like a lot of fun people and cool vibes. And so I came here and it was the only BFA program that accepted me. So it wasn't really a hard choice. Also, I really like the cold. I know that's like controversial, but I really like the cold weather. So yeah, and I graduated in 2020. So the second half of my senior year was completely obliterated. So I really did think that I was like, oh shit, I'm like not going to work in the cities at all. Because all these connections I've built, I won't get a chance to like see them through. And like, I haven't really been able to audition for anything. And even if I did, no one's hiring. And so it was like about a year of like really grinding and like putting myself out there as much as I could and literally nothing coming back. But now I'm working. So thank God. Thank God. Now I have too many opportunities, which is great. I have to like remember when I was like, oh my gosh, no one's ever going to hire me because now I'm working far too much.
Yeah. That is the realest. It's that fine balance of, at least for me, what do I really want to spend my time and attention with? And what do I want to do with my day-to-day? And how many things can I feasibly do in the span of a 24-hour or, like, 1 week or 1 month period? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, because it's really easy to just, like, oh, all these things are coming up. I'm saying yes to everything. And then realizing that you're double and triple booked in certain places and you're losing sleep and you are trying to figure out how you're going to get to that place and then that place and the amount of time. It just becomes a thing that you can pendulum swing to the opposite side as well. And we won't always live directly in the middle, obviously. The middle way is something to strive for. Yeah. But you know, it's something that I always like to keep in mind. And also, we don't have to be grinding 24/7 to
that
be successful.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one thing that, as much as I really also enjoyed my undergraduate training, the thing that I learned in undergraduate was if you're not grinding, you're sunk.
Yeah, you know, I learned
that
too.
You're never going to make it.
Yeah, I think it's like a direct correlation, like you said, because I had a minor. So I was like in classes like from 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning. And then sometimes I had to go to the Guthrie and have like rehearsal or class there, or sometimes I would be in rehearsal until 11 o'clock at night for the shows that I was doing, because in my program we had shows like every semester, which was great, but also I had to like survive. And that's the thing. It's like that's been my mode of being for so long. And even in high school, that's how it was too, because I lived on the campus the last 2 years of high school, and I was in a theater program where I had to rehearse at night and have classes in the morning, very similar to like a conservatory style, I guess. So really since I was like 16, I like have not stopped. And so that year of like stopping was like miserable for me. And I know like the rest of the world had to deal with that as well. It was just me struggling by myself. But in some ways it was good, because I like got to be with myself and like relax and have time to myself, which I'm actively trying to make time for right now. But I'm going into tech week this week. Like this weekend and into next week. Does my show open next week? What day is it? Where am I?
Today is February 17th, I believe.
Oh, no, for sure. No, I open I open a week from tomorrow.
Oh my goodness. We'll plug that at the end. I want to make sure people go out with the
we will.
With that information. But that is hilarious. Yeah. That is the mark of a true theater person who lives only by their calendar.
Yep.
I have lines and nothing else up in my head. I have lines and music. Can't remember dates to save my life.
Yeah, I have lines and blocking and props and costume. Like, there's nothing else up here. Absolutely not.
And not right now, anyway.
Nope.
So I guess that kind of leads into the next question, which is what keeps you in the Twin Cities?
Great question. The people that I love making art with. I just did a show called Latins on Ice, which was really super fun. And it was a group of five Latinos in the Twin Cities who kind of like came together and shared their experiences through like farcical comedy stuff. And it was so fun. And I think it was the first time that I have created something since being an adult human that I was like really proud of, because it's one thing to like get booked and do someone else's piece and do their work, and it's a different thing to create and like collaborate on a piece that you really really believe in, and I think Minneapolis is a great place to do that because there's such a diverse pool of people, and thankfully because I went to the university, I know a lot of those people. I know a lot of different like directors, professors, teachers, also like my friends that were students. And also through putting myself out there, I have a connection with you. I have a connection with a lot of other people who are passionate about the same things that I'm passionate about, and who are kind and generous and always willing to extend an opportunity. And I think that I've done that for some people as well. I've been able to give them little opportunities here and there when I can. So yeah, that sense of like community and camaraderie with everyone, like it's always a grind, but if we grind together, it's better and it's more fun.
Ugh, that is like the mantra of everything that my thesis stood for.
Yeah.
is collaborative efforts. And I completely agree with you. And I think it kind of took the pandemic in some ways for us to realize that making other people's art is awesome, but collaborating on art with other people, especially in a city like this where we have, you know, just so many performers who are ready to jump in and they want to make things with other people and collaborate. And yet we have theaters that are dark, and it's because funding is rough and it's difficult to find the time and the space and the resources to create work. So I know personally I'm working on building more collaborative relationships to find ways to pool more resources and talents in the city. And I really think that that's where my focus is right now and will continue to be.
Yeah.
And speaking of collaborating, I am still so sad that I wasn't able to make either of the performances of Latins on Ice, and I'm excited to see what else you're able to do with it, because you already had a performance outside and then also at Huge Theater, correct? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had an improv show, and we're going to continue doing improv. I don't know like what dates yet, but there will be some sort of continuation of Latins on Ice through improv comedy and short like little vignettes. We might write more sketches and show those. But yeah, it's definitely continuing on. And Huge Theater is amazing. Shout out to Huge Theater. They're so nice and amazing. Like that's one of the places where I'm so glad I've made connections, because like I say I'm grinding now, but like in a month or so, if I don't have anything going on and I'm like, oh, like I really want to create, I really need to make more money, I need to do this or that, or I have this idea, the people at Huge are so open and caring. And I know that if I'm like, hey, can I do this, they'll be like, yes, how can we help you, how can we support your art? And they're awesome.
I love that.
They're amazing.
and I think that's something that's really, I wouldn't say it's completely unique to this area, but it's a unique aspect of this area.
Yeah.
That we do have some theaters in this area that really want to get work in, and they want to help you. They want to help you get the work on stage and in front of people.
Yeah.
Without quite as many barriers and without as many gatekeepers.
Yes.
Because there's plenty of those.
Mm-hmm.
Plenty of those. So it's nice to have a few that aren't here for that. That's not their focus.
Yeah.
So let's move into some some personal questions.
Yeah.
What are some of the favorite roles you've played in the past? Get into that old chestnut of a question.
Well, I don't want to say I've loved every role I've played, but, like, I really do enjoy, or I find something to enjoy about, like, every role.
What kind of Academy Award? What kind of Academy Award question? Yeah. I've loved every role.
I have. I really do love all of them. But I think I played Electra my junior year of college. Mm. And I think it was, like, maybe my first time playing, like, a main role. It was incredible. It was really, I love the epics. I love, like, Greek theater and how, like, big it is. And I got to explore, like, emotional extremes and vocal extremes and physical extremes. And it was just a really beautiful story that I felt I could really connect to, like, with my soul. So that was amazing. I'm not a professional. I haven't played a lot of roles.
I mean, that was a great answer. Yeah. I like the thing about playing a role like Electra or getting a role in a stylized piece of theater, mm-hmm. like Greek theater, mm-hmm. means that you get to kind of like strengthen up and flex some muscles you don't always get to use in
yes.
more realism style shows or even musicals. Mm-hmm. Although musical theater and Greek theater do tend to go a little bit more hand in hand, a little bigger.
Yeah.
A little bigger. More over the top.
For sure.
Also choruses, large ensembles, mm-hmm. You know, all of that. So I think that really is a pretty phenomenal role to get to play. Not everybody gets to play one yeah. of the big leading, especially one of the big leading, like, AFAB female roles in Greek theater. Not yeah. everybody gets to say they played one of those.
No, she's badass. It was awesome.
You don't mess with Electra.
No, she'll kill you.
She will, literally. So what's the dream role? What's the role that, like, one day...
Oh, that's so hard because I think I have more dream roles with, like, musical theater. I don't do a lot of musical theater, but I would
love.
Which is
a shame, really.
Right.
it's such a shame.
I would love to be Mrs. Lovett in Sweeney Todd. Sweeney Todd's one of my favorite shows of all time, and I really resonate with Mrs. Lovett. I love playing, like, goofy people, but also, like, that darker, like, macabre style. Mm-hmm. I also really love Shakespeare, so I'm a little young now, but one of my favorite monologues that I do for auditions is Tamora from Titus Andronicus.
Yes.
And that's another really powerful AFAB role where she will literally kill you. And she's just amazing. She's so, like, vindictive and manipulative, but also has her reasons. I would love to play her. I would like to play everything always in every show. there's an obscure show called The House of Yes that's, like, one of my favorite contemporary plays. And it's really bizarre and weird, and it's like it is a realism, but it's like a family unit, but they're bizarre. And there's, like, incest, and there's also, like, reenacting the Kennedy assassination. There's a lot of layers.
The House of Yes, for those of you who've never seen it, is a wild, like, read it with the most open mind you can if you yeah. ever want to sit down and read something bizarre.
It's so bizarre.
That reads like realism. Like, it's yeah. supposed to read like realism, but
it's so crazy.
It's absurd.
It is. but I would want to be Jackie O in that.
Yes.
Of
yes,
course.
Yes, yes, yes. an incredible role. I do like that we do tend to link up a little bit that way. I think it's it can feel a little bit tired to say, I wanna be Elphaba. I wanna be but mm-hmm. and I don't ever wanna like rain down on anybody who that's sure. the dream, because if that's the dream, that's the dream.
Yeah.
It's just that my dreams of roles that I really want to play have shifted a lot over the last decade, mm-hmm. and none of them are realistic. You know, like the roles I wanted to play when I was younger were the roles that were available, and like leading roles for queer people are few and far between, especially musical theater from a decade, two decades ago, right? It was, right. you know, a character in Rent, which of course I wanted to do, but I was too young. You know, there were shows, but it didn't exist quite as much. So I think we're both kind of in the same place. Some of the really great roles that we want to play are in the future a little bit, like eccentric upper middle age to moving into golden years type characters with eccentric character quirks and a lot of personality.
Yeah. I love a character quirk.
I mean, they get better songs. So
true. Absolutely.
Scar might not have a whole lot of lines in The Lion King, but Be Prepared is the best song in the whole show.
It's stunning. It's House so down good. Boots,
like
literally.
Just so good. So, no, I really love that. Now, what's your audition song?
Well, here's the thing. I don't do a lot of musical theater. I'm trying to think. I sing if it's like a – I don't audition for a lot of these roles either, but if it's like – I don't know, like a soft sort of vibe, if it's like a folksy. Yeah, if it's like ingenue or like a folks type thing, I'll sing like Distant Melody from Peter Pan because I just really love it. Is it a good choice? I don't know, but I like it. I've never auditioned with this song, but I did do like a workshop, like a singing workshop at the Guthrie with it. Oh, no. What's it called? Oh, I know. It's called Model Behavior by Women on the Verge of a Nervous Breakdown.
Yeah. Ooh.
I really like that one. I would love if you're ever available to like help me figure out like a 16-bar cut of that. I would totally use that at like every audition. I love
and
that
we
song.
Will we can definitely sit down and do that. 16 bars, 32 bars or in 32. A minute cutting. You want to have three-ish versions of your really good go-to songs at the ready, because they might say, hey, we want to hear a little more of that, or they might say, we want to hear a minute, and you come in with a minute, they're like, we don't have time, we need 16 bars, which in my opinion, if that's how they're doing it, already don't want to be a part of that production, but sometimes you don't have a choice. That's just a personal thing for me. But it shows me that I will have to respect your time, but you are already not respecting mine. So, you know, but anyway, that's maybe a little bit of a millennial thing, maybe a little bit of a thing that's just changing. I'm not 100% sure, but I think those are great audition songs because there's some contrast there, which is also good. You want to have songs that have different things, and also they mean something to you, and that is the mark. If you're just choosing a song because you think it's going to show something off, that can be great. It can work, but when you have a real connection to your song, it does tend to shine through. Now that I've been on the other side of that table a couple of times, and becoming more times as I move through my career, I'm realizing that like you can have the most beautiful voice, but if you're dead behind the eyes, I'm missing something. And usually you're dead behind the eyes, not because you're not capable of feeling anything, but because you're not connected.
Yeah. I noticed I was watching TikToks this morning because, of course, I was. And there was this girl who was singing something from Rocky Horror Picture Show. And her vocals were good, but literally she was like completely dead behind the eyes. And that's not me like judging her, but everyone's like, oh, my God, this is amazing. And I'm like, if I saw this on stage, I'd be like, okay.
Phrase is really cruel, like dead behind the eyes. It makes it I feel bad, but
like nothing was going on. And I get it because she was focusing on the vocals, but it's like everyone posting their self-tape. And I'm like, that is a lot for me because like I don't know if I would ever post my self-tapes. I'm like, yes, I should be proud of myself for doing stuff, but I'm like, but with songs in particular, acting a song is like really important, and I'm an actor first, so that's like the first thing I look for, because I don't really care about vocals. Like if someone cracks and they're like literally like on the verge of tears, I'm like, I'm hooked. I don't care.
Meryl Streep in Mamma Mia was not like the most amazing chanteuse at everything.
Here's
but
where
the
you're
winner
wrong.
Takes it all. You know, like she didn't have to be because you yeah. believed everything. Like
of
the
course.
Winner takes it all was incredible.
It's so amazing.
It was strong. And like I don't yeah. often say that about people who are non-musical like performers performing mm-hmm. in a musical movie, because sometimes you can see it's like, yeah, you're acting the house down in the song, but it sounds like Pierce Brosnan, great for the character, sounded
he sounds like a
rough.
Water buffalo.
Yeah,
my cousins and I call him that because we watch Mamma Mia like every year. We're like, oh, it's the water buffalo, great. I love, but also, oh my god, Colin Firth in that movie, I'm obsessed with Colin Firth. I love him.
Oh my goodness. No, seriously. And that's the thing is like there's multitudes to it, right? And
yes.
you have a monologue consulting type of a gig that you do on the side as well.
I try to. If anyone's listening and wants monologue coaching, please let me know because I'll do it.
Absolutely. We will, like I said, we're going to make sure we link to everything.
Yeah.
We'll show in the show notes, y'all. but It's seriously true. Combing through an audition song is like combing through a monologue. There's poetry.
Yes.
You need mm-hmm. to decode. Even things like Sondheim, where there's not always a lot of subtext because there's so many words. It's
yeah.
like it's like Greek or Shakespeare, where
yeah.
the subtext isn't there because the delivery of the words is where all of the information is.
Mm-hmm.
You still got to know what you're saying and what you feel about it. Like that still needs to be there.
Yes.
Like for me, I'd rather close my eyes and listen at first because I don't want to be completely taken in by, oh, how do you look? Because
yeah.
that is such a trap you can fall into with auditions.
Mm-hmm.
I love to listen to an audition. If I get a tape, I like to listen before I look very closely at the person performing. Like, how do they sound? And then I kind of watch and I'm like, okay, I got an idea of what your voice sounds like. I can focus more on mannerisms.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's just such a trap. We get really, really, really wrapped up in, do you look the part? Well, I don't know. What
yeah.
is looking the part half the time?
I'm so sick of that stuff. Yeah. It's so
that's, I mean, we could go off for 3 more hours on that. So we might have to pivot a little
yeah,
bit now.
We
might
have
but to pivot. Secondary follow-up question. What song do you just love to belt in the shower?
Right now, it's We Don't Talk About Bruno from Encanto.
I mean, yes.
Me and everyone else.
No joke. About, I would say, 75% to 80% of my students are requesting to do that in some way, shape, or form, or, like, listen to it, because I've got a lot of kids. So I have a lot of people who, like, in my musical adventures lessons where we just do a bunch of musical activities for 5-year-olds, it's like, let's find the beat to We Don't Talk About Bruno with Shakers, and let's like make up rhythms to go along with it. I'm trying to incorporate that song into a lot of things because A, really excellent piece of musical theater. Thank you, Lin-Manuel. and because it is, it's anytime you have multiple people singing different things at the same time and it still works.
Yeah.
I'm like, that is a mark of a great composition.
Yeah, it's so good. It's very musical theater, which I love. I'm also doing it with my kids that I'm teaching because they wanted to do like a song. And I was like, I'm not writing a song with you guys. It's going to take like 3 hours and we have like 30 minutes. So I was like, does everyone know We Don't Talk About Bruno? Great. Let's change the words. Same beat. Let's go.
Yeah. I mean, hey,
that's
how you do it.
Yeah.
That's how you do it. And that's the creativity. That's the creativity the judges are looking for. there's been so much Drag Race the last 3 years. My brain is completely
and
utterly
just bludgeoned.
I've been watching
it with my
judging
roommate.
Competitions.
It's so, there's so much. Like we watched UK versus the World yesterday.
Oh, heck yeah.
But then there's also like the actual season the actual season, but like the most recent
There's
season.
There's 14, season 14. We
right.
had All-Star 6 that just wrapped up. We had
right.
Canada season 2. We had...
It's so much.
And don't get me wrong, like, it's super fun, but my brain, I think, is, like, broken from it.
Yeah, I don't remember who's on what season or what's going on at all.
So, I might have the answer to this already, but what's
yeah.
your musical obsession at the moment?
Okay.
Can be, like, stage musical.
Sure.
Can be movie. Can
mm-hmm.
be musical artist.
Yeah. Amazing question. I keep coming back to this one. It's a musical. it's just so good. Falsettos is literally one of like the best written musicals I think ever, because it has kind of that like you were talking about, there's so many words and it feels like a conversation. It feels more like a monologue or like dialogue, because there is dialogue woven in, but like the emotion behind it, like that is a score that I can listen to and immediately be placed in Trina having a breakdown, or Wizard being completely devastated that he's gonna die. Like that, I am immediately placed in those places. And it's also so funny and so relatable and just beautiful. I really want to play Mendel, the psychiatrist. Ooh.
That would be a super fun role. That'll never happen,
but I would love to play Mendel because he's such a little goober.
I wouldn't say never. I wouldn't say never. There's creative casting choices sometimes. I do agree. There might be barriers to that. You're correct. But
yeah, because I was thinking about it and I was like, oh my God, like a gender bent version of the falsettos. And I was like, literally, it doesn't make sense. Like, I mean, you could definitely have like trans or non-binary folks in there. But like the fact that like Trina is like your typical like straight housewife type deal. And then Marvin and Wizard are queer, whether you gender bend them or not. But like, Trina and Mendel, I feel like, are kind of stuck in their ways. Like, I don't know if you could flip it at all.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Unless you were doing the whole thing flipped in, like, a crazy
right. type but would of that a make type, s- type w- of but way. Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm just trying to think, because Trina's whole deal is, like, these men are driving me literally crazy. And so if you flipped it and it was a man going, these girls are crazy, I would literally punch.
Well, then it's every other show. So
yeah, exactly. Exactly. Maybe
it's Curly in Oklahoma. It's all of these other
not
characters.
I know.
So, I mean, I guess that kind of leads me into the next question, which is, what show would you never do again?
So my senior year, I was in a show called Golden Boy. It was like our senior show. Okay. It's by Clifford Odets. I just wasn't good in it. But also, I just don't love Odets. Like, it great at the time, super revolutionary, love that. I don't like the style. I really didn't enjoy it. I was supposed to be like the blonde bombshell. I know I'm an actor. I'm supposed to like transform. Can't do it. Like, that's maybe the one niche I don't think I can fill. And I was just really fucking bad. And my professors were like, why are you not doing well? And I was like, I don't know. Maybe because this is, I don't relate to this. I don't know. I don't get it. And they were like, well, this other girl's better. Because we were like double cast. So they were like, the other whatever role is so much better.
Not your professors trying to turn you against other students.
I know. She was also my roommate. She was also my roommate. So that was a lot. But here's the thing. We didn't care. And I don't think that was their intention. They were just like, oh, like she's doing this really well. Maybe like, and I was like, we're completely different types. And again, that's not to pigeonhole myself, because I can do whatever. But I was like, I mean, Golden Boy, me?
I'm feeling ya.
No.
I am feeling ya. I think sometimes we get in this idea, it's sort of like when people think, well, do I want to go down this rabbit hole? So it's sort of how I feel about straight people playing queer roles. Mm. Yes. Totally. Queer people have to sometimes play straight roles.
Yeah.
But I also, like power dynamics wise, sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes we're like, I don't identify with this. This is not working. And it's working. It's not working for very specific reasons. And sometimes those reasons are, this is not just outside of my lived experience. This is outside of the realm of like anything I can imagine for myself.
Yeah.
I think sometimes. And I don't think as performers, it's pigeonholing to say that there's just some things that like I don't want to or feel the need to be able to play.
Yeah.
You know, like I would be just fine never playing a traditional man in a show ever again. That would be like amazing. I don't even want to try. I'm so sick of going in for auditions and having them call me back for a role I know they're not going to cast me in. Because they're like, oh, vocally, you surprised us. You looked like that and you sounded like that. I did not expect that. I've actually heard people say that to my face. And yeah, right. So I think with your professors, this gets me riled up the teensiest bit because educationally, it's a very, very, very bad form of like teaching to say, well, that person over there can do it. Cool. Great for that person.
Yeah.
you're not watch them and do what they do. That's not how this works.
Yeah.
That's just very frustrating to me because I don't think it's like you said, I don't think they meant anything like disparaging by it. But it's not exactly it's something that I think a lot of performing arts teachers can get caught in that trap of doing. And no one's perfect. Everybody's going to do it at least once or twice or five times in their life. But sometimes I do wonder if certain individuals, and I might be talking from experience, there's some individuals who teach that I think are really, really good for teaching certain types of performers and no one else.
Yeah.
Like they're not in the way that they want you to be a performer that can play every role. They don't expect you, like they can't teach every role. So there are just some things that can't be taught in the way that they think that they can be taught, and they can't be learned in the ways that they think they can be learned. So I appreciate that. That's because there are just some things where like I'm never gonna do that again. I don't have to.
Yeah. So. Odette's, I don't think, like, it was in a rep, so there were like other shows too. I didn't really love any of the other shows either. It just was not my vibe. It really wasn't.
And that's fine. There are some people who, it doesn't matter how amazingly written it is, there are some people who are never going to enjoy sitting through a Shakespeare show or like performing in a Shakespeare show. And you know what? Like, as much as I'm like, oh, it'd be kind of nice if you gave it a chance. It's like, no, sometimes you're just not going to reach people that way, you know? So,
yeah,
I don't know. It's, but I think that that's telling for like the type of performer that you want to be, I think, and the types of characters that you see yourselves in, and that, because they also tell you like pick your type, right? What are the types of characters you're gonna go for? It's like that's a contradictory statement. Play anything, but also figure out the boxes that you should be in.
Yeah,
it's a lot. So I think. I think it sounds like you were realizing some things about yourself as a performer that were really important for future you. That at the time you were like, I just don't get this and I don't like it.
Yeah. Like, it was really frustrating. But now, if I had to, I could with like the tools that I've learned. But it's just like you get to a point when you're a performer or an artist where you can stop accepting roles that you just don't want to do. And that's just one that I'm like, if I had a choice, which I do have a choice, I'm just not going to do it again.
Yeah. And I say brava. like, do not. So I guess we talked a little bit earlier about the things that you enjoy about being here in the Twin Cities, kind of why you came here, why you stay here. What would you change about the way that the Twin Cities operates?
Well, something, this is like a more minuscule thing, but then I'll move on to my actual answer. I've been noticing recently, and I've had a lot of discussions with people about it, that, because we were talking about there's more theater per capita, there's more theater per capita here than like anywhere else except New York. But that being said, it is not super livable for theater artists unless they're making their own work, because a lot of them don't pay because they're like community theater, or they pay stipends that are like barely cover the cost of gas. And while I am totally game to do the work that I want to do and get paid, even if it is a stipend, I think that is just like not, you can't support a community that way. And I know it's super difficult, especially with COVID. Like, theaters don't want to shut down. They want to give their actors something. But, you know, I think that bleeds into my next point, which is accessibility, because there are so many casting calls that I see that are like, we are dedicated to inclusion and blah, 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 blah. And no one had that in their statements until George Floyd. Like, no one cared. Or if they cared, it was like, they like, oh, yeah, we're, like, totally about inclusion. But they didn't really show up for it. And I think that that's something that Minneapolis can still improve on. Because one issue is, like, if the only people that are showing up to auditions are white or white passing, obviously you're going to have an all-white cast. But there are steps you can take to make it reach more people, or, I don't know, produce stories by and for and about people of color instead of, you know, like there were, not to read any theater company, but I saw like so many Little Women auditions. I saw so many Clue auditions. And here's the thing. I love Clue. I almost auditioned for Clue. I love Clue. But like, I don't, you know, as someone who's Latina, I'm trying to look for more things since Latin's on Ice that like connect to my experience or my friend's experience and like see what's out there for them. And there's really not that much that's like enticing. Like, I see something and I'm like, oh, I could audition for that, but like, is it really going to fulfill me artistically? And then also the pay for people who, you know, might need certain pay in order to like pay their next rent check. You know, obviously people aren't going to turn out if it's a stipend or if there's no payment at all. So yeah, I think, and again, I know that it's so difficult that theaters are trying to allocate funds so that everyone gets paid something, especially during COVID. But I think more equity and equality and more opportunity, more diverse stories would really benefit the cities, because there are so many stories to tell. There's a super high immigrant population here. Obviously, there are protests going on literally right now. There was George Floyd, there's Amir Locke. This is a hot spot for social justice. And I think if we keep doing those shows that everyone is doing, that everyone's vying for the rights for and not listening to what's around us, that'll just kill the theater scene here.
What I really love about all of that is you're hitting on some really important points of what is missing mm-hmm. here in the Twin Cities, and it's actionable. Yeah. There are ways we can make that happen. Mm-hmm. There are some amazing people trying to do some amazing work, and I think it's tough for us to figure out how to connect and get together. And so what I'm really saying is we need to start that theater company we've been talking about.
Literally.
I mean, but no, I mean, an artist collective something, I think... I think that is definitely in the works for the future.
Yeah.
Or at the very least, like a collaborative like group that just like meets occasionally to chat about here's what we need, here's what we want, here's what we hope. I look forward to seeing how, as we move out of, fingers crossed, this final, hopefully final phase of the madness mm-hmm. That is COVID-19, we can look towards like the end of 2022 into 2023 with some hope for something new, something different.
Definitely.
And, yeah. You know, kind of figure out where we're going from there. I cannot wait to hear more about Latins on Ice. I cannot wait to hear more about the different projects that I see taking off. I perform at a brewery called Finnegan's.
Yeah.
Which they do. Yeah, they do Finnegan's on Broadway. And it's a couple of friends of mine who I'm very, very hoping to get on the podcast together nice. at some point in time. But I went to school with them. I went to UW La Crosse with them. Mm-hmm. And they now kind of, well, Maddie runs the tap room. Mm-hmm. And they put together this one night a month where people who are musical theater fans can come and just share their music.
That's so cool.
And it's a fundraiser for their community fund. They are a charitable organization. They're a nonprofit. They're not a for-profit brewery, mm-hmm. and they're woman owned. And they raise money for feeding the community. Like, I think the places. Those are the catalysts for something. And my problem is, how many of them do I want to be a part of? And will I stretch myself too thin?
Right. I feel like...
But okay. All right. Rapid fire questions. Are you ready? Okay.
Yes.
All right. Sweet or sour?
Sour.
Chocolate or white chocolate?
White chocolate.
Oh, thank goodness. Strawberries or raspberries?
Strawberries.
Neons or pastels?
Neons.
Very nice. Day or night?
Night.
Ooh, love that. I wrote a bunch of these down, and then I didn't save my my thing. So I'm trying to remember what they were. Coffee okay. or tea?
Ooh, it depends on what my IBS is doing that day. This morning it was tea.
Ah, very nice. You know what? completely appreciate that answer. let's see here. Pizza or spaghetti?
Those are two of my favorite things. Spaghetti.
They're both so good. should I or should I not grow back the facial hair with the handlebar mustache?
Will you put glitter in it?
I mean, yes.
I think it'd be a good experiment. If with the glitter.
Perfect. That might not make the cut.
it must.
regular sugary sodas or soda water?
Sugary soda.
Are you one of the people that thinks LaCroix tastes like a whisper of flavor?
Mm-hmm. I like, if I'm going to drink like a flavored sparkling water, I do Spindrift because that actually has like fruit juice in it. So it has sugar in it, but it's like 0.5 grams.
I like it.
So it's like lower sugar, but it's actually delicious.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that. matinee or night show?
Night show.
Oh, thank goodness.
I hate matinees.
Oh, my goodness. Let's see. Favorite genre of horror movie?
Camp.
Yes.
Campy, there like campy. Not like a camp, but like campy.
Well, usually those camp movies are also camp.
Campy, so yeah. Is that where the term comes from?
Not necessarily, no. well, let's see here. I had one more. I can't remember it. So anyway, that ends our rapid fire round because I can't remember what other questions I wrote down. But that was a pretty good rapid fire round anyway. I think that was a good 8 questions. Yeah. So we kind of talked a little bit about them, but Isabella, can you please plug any upcoming or current projects that are in the works?
I can. So The Mousetrap by Agatha Christie will be premiering next week, Friday the 25th at Lyric Arts in Anoka. Anoka, also a fun fact, is the Halloween capital of the world.
They sure are.
It's not Halloween right now, so I've literally seen no evidence to that fact, except for, like, there's one poster that has, like, the Universal Classic Monsters on it that just says Anoka on it, on the side of a building. And I'm like, oh, Halloween, but that's it. So I'll have to go back at Halloween. That's not what I'm doing. I'm not doing Halloween, but I have to say it. Huge Theater, we're gonna have, Latins on Ice is gonna have some sort of improv show. It might be Mondays, it might be on the weekends coming up here in the couple months. So keep posted on that. You can follow Huge on Instagram. You can also follow Latins on Ice at latins.on.ice on Instagram. What else am I doing? You and I are doing some fun thing. Singy thing.
We are. There's plenty of information about that on my website, so we'll talk about that at a later time. Incredible. But yes, you are one of the singers that will be on the demo album as we get to it.
Amazing. So,
very excited. And can you, do you have an Instagram for your monologue consulting business as well, correct?
I do. It's just my regular Instagram.
Okay.
my Instagram is at Cheesy Epitaph. I should probably change it to my real name, but I'm not going to. But yeah, Cheesy, I don't know how to spell. C-H-E-E-S-E? No. Why? It's Cheesy.
I'll link it. I was trying to remember too, because when I first saw it, I saw it out of the corner of my eyes and I did not see Epitaph. So I saw like... For a second, I was like, oh, is that in a language? I don't know. Because I was just kind of seeing it out of the corner of my eye. And then I looked back at it The next time I went to your Instagram and I was like, oh, it's his cheesy epitaph, which is very funny joke.
Someone thought it was cheesy pita.
It does kind of look like that when you look out of the corner of your eyes.
Here's the thing. I'll change it at some point, but go follow me there until I do.
Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you so much for talking with us today. This was a treat.
Yes, thank you. It's so good to hear from you. We need to get coffee sometime for sure.
We will, especially now that I am now super immune. So.
Thank God. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. We can. I'm kidding. Wear your mask. everybody wear your mask. But anyway, I don't really have a sign off for this yet. I don't really know how I want to sign off. How about this? So... Make sure you follow Isabella on all of those things. We'll keep you up to date on what's going on. And thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful rest of the day. We'll see you next time. Or you'll hear us next time. I don't know. We're going to have a better send-off next week. Bye.
Bye.